Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and I am actually calling in from Southern Oregon this morning, but there in the studio should be, I can't see, but I think is Mark Austin. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Amy. How are you doing?
I'm better. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. Well, thanks for being there. I was thinking this morning, trying to remember why I was going to have you on the show. Not that there's no reason to have you on the show, but there's so many different reasons to have you on the show. And I guess we've got quite a few different things to talk about. You, of course, for those that don't know, are the executive director. What is your title there at the Muskox Farm?
Oh, it's executive. Don't drop that. That's all I got.
So, Mark, you're the executive director at the Palmer Muskox Farm, and I always like to start the show by asking folks to give me a little bit of their background, their connection to Alaska and Alaska agriculture, how you got here. I know you've been on the show before, Mark, but we've got new listeners all the time, so go ahead and remind us, how'd you get to Alaska and how'd you end up at this connection with the Muskox Farm?
Oh, goodness, that's about a 2 or 3 hour radio show, probably. I came to Alaska first when I was going to school. I'd been in school in Colorado and had a very spontaneous, just take a wild Great White North experience, picked out a name on a map, and ended up in Cordova and realized that this was the place I was supposed to call home. Another summer in Alaska, a few more years in finishing school, and I had moved up permanently as a young adult, did all kinds of Alaska jobs from operating heavy equipment at a gold mine to commercial fishing, running dogs, and then in 1994 started Vagabond Blues in Palmer. So that's what brought me into the community here, and it has absolutely been home and the place I've loved ever since. It was through Vagabond Blues that I met the son of our founder who was running the project, and that's what drew me into the Muskox Farm. In the 90s, spent a tremendous amount of time up there helping out with everything from repairing fences to working with animals, and so took a little hiatus away from Palmer for a while and returned in 2009, and they were in a kind of a tough place in transition, so in the summer of 2010, I came back up and took over.
Yeah. So you always knew you wanted to be a Muskox Farm executive director then, right?
Since I was a very, very small boy, yes. That was always my aspiration growing up in the suburbs of Denver.
Perfect. Well, and you and I, our connection, Farmland Trust and the Muskox Farm, our connection started the two organizations' connection started quite some time ago, but when I came on with the Farmland Trust in 2015, we were kind of in the midway process of getting an easement placed on that property. And I always like to remind folks that the Muskox Farm is one of our permanently protected properties. We completed that process. Was it in 15 or did it take until, it took till 16 to get it done, didn't it?
It did. Yeah, it was a process, but boy, worth every ounce of energy for sure.
Yeah, because now it will be farmland forever, whether or not the muskox are there forever or someone starts another venture there, it will always be used for agriculture.
Woohoo.
Woohoo, yeah. So, Mark, I know there's lots of exciting things that happen on the farm every year. This summer, you guys have ventured into more. It seems like you're expanding your offerings for the public, and I've been to a number of concerts there at the farm. And I know you've got a big foot race coming up, and then we've got our big party later in the year. So what should we talk about first? What about these concerts? What's the next concert?
Oh, my gosh. It has been an incredible summer. There's so much going on at the farm. We did do a 8-concert series that we launched, summer concert series, and then we just last week snuck in a little nod to the Palmer Arts Council to host a couple of fiddlers and musicians who are touring the state. Which was a really fun evening there at the farm. So concerts galore. The next one, actually, so the second Sunday in August, which is the 12th, will be our, I believe it's our 14th annual Running with the Bulls. And so that's a 1K kids fun run, a 5K run walk, and a 10K run. And it's all run on the trail. So I was actually out last night defining the course and getting the mileage just right. And so it's going to be a great course, and then that'll be on the 12th. And then following that, if we'll have a few-hour break, and we'll have Brian Conway, who is been lauded as one of the greatest fiddlers of his generation. He's won the All-Ireland Fiddle Award for 3 years, and with a special guest, John Walsh, who, for those of you in the traditional Irish music circle, there was a local John Walsh, and then there's this other one. And it is the other one. John Walsh is regularly coming to Alaska like once a year and doing some gigs. But this is another gentleman who's a super accomplished Irish musician. So got a big day on Sunday the 12th. We'll have the race, and then we'll roll into some fantastic Irish fiddle music and jigs and reels and all the bunch of great stuff there. And then we will close out our season just 1 week later with Braided River. That will be an adult-only show. We're always a family-friendly place. We certainly welcome kids who are and minors who are accompanied by their parents, but we will have beer and wine available for people, and Braided River, which a favorite local band. I think a lot of folks are familiar with them, and that'll wrap up our concert. So yeah, huge music year for us. We had some huge shows with, you know, over 300 people at one of them, and well over 200 at another one. And so they've been from intimate to just big and rowdy.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I've made it to a couple, and they've been incredible. It's just a super cool venue. It's nice to be able to get out there on the farm and walk amongst the muskox for a couple of minutes and then settle in for some great music and, you know, again, be able to turn around and look, and there's these monstrous prehistoric beasts back behind you, and it's nice. It's not like anything else, I can say that for sure. So getting back to the foot race, the fun run, running of the bulls, how can people find more information about registering, prices, et cetera, for that, Mark?
So all of our website is, of course, I think for everybody, the website is always a perpetual place to work on, but I think it's pretty accessible right now. So go to our website, which is muskoxfarm.org, and you can click on an events button. That'll help you find your way to music. It'll help you find your way to Oktoberfest and, of course, running with the bulls. We will have our pre-race registration open for about another week and a half, and then prices will go up a little bit for adults. But all that information is on our website, and you can get registered for the race, and it should be tons of fun. Always is.
Yeah, and today is August 1st, isn't it? I'm on vacation, so it's hard to keep track of the days. But so that's just, it's not this coming weekend, but it's next weekend, right?
Right. Yeah. So it is coming up super quick.
Yeah, and I regret to say that I've never done that race. All the things I've done at the farm, that's one that I haven't done. Maybe this will be the year. But it's super family-friendly, right?
It's a great day for families at the farm. It's so often we'll see the kids do the fun run with their parents. And, you know, from littles up till, I think we've got an 8-year-old cutoff at this point. And then they'll turn around and parents will hit the 5K or walk with the kids and do the race. But it's, I think the most amazing thing about the race, the funnest thing about it is it's a chance for people to see the farm the way nobody ever sees the farm. And of course you're not ever running, you know, mixed in with animals, but oftentimes you're running a fence line and there's animals frolicking next to it. And so you get to be on the property and see the property like this only one time a year. And the views are just amazing. The Chugach Range, Talkeetna's, you know, the rolling pastures with the muskox, and it's a incredible perspective, and it's a great race. We have people all the time tell me it's the best trail race going on in South Central Alaska. It's very unique, and nothing like it.
I love it. Running with the bulls. So next, did you say next Saturday or next Sunday?
It'll be the 12th of August, which is a week from Sunday.
Okay, Sunday, perfect. A great Sunday family-friendly activity. So just a quick reminder to folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio is Mark Austin, Executive Director of the Muskox Farm, Darren Palmer. And again, Mark, I appreciate you being there despite my absence, and I hope the sound is coming through okay and everything, because I am 1,700 miles away down in southern Oregon. Moving on, so incredible music this year at the Muskox Farm, and then we've got the Running of the Bulls coming up, which it sounds like some pretty amazing music that Sunday as well. And then we have, is it the 4th?
The 6th.
The 6th?
Oh, the 4th, yes.
The 4th
on
annual.
The 6th, yeah, 4th annual.
On October 6th, we shall host the 4th annual Oktoberfest.
Absolute social event of the season.
Yeah, and just two short months away, which is a little unsettling, right?
Yeah, very unsettling. A lot of moving parts go into that one.
Right. So, yeah, so back in 2015, when we started working together, we had this little harebrained idea to have a celebration on the farm of our two organizations and a party and just, you know, invite people out to the farm and hear about Farmland Trust and hear more about the Muskox farm and celebrate the fall harvest. And boy, 4 years later, it's going strong, if not, I don't know, the strongest. And tickets are on sale now, right?
You can get tickets on sale. You can get them through Brown Paper Tickets. And you know, we've got, of course, again this year, that we had a VIP ticket last year with a lot of little perks that went to it. And those were the first to go last year. And we've got, of course, our general admission, which is no slouch, with great access to locally crafted beers and German varietals, not German or not locally brewed, but the German-inspired varietals from some vineyards out of state. Great music, Alaska Blaskapel, 12-piece lederhosen-clad brass oompa band. It's great entertainment for everyone. Of course, the food is, you know, total celebration of Alaska agriculture, everything from the wheat and the buns to the cabbage and the sauerkraut. It's all local, homegrown, and just really try to draw attention to how important, you know, the agriculture in Alaska really is.
Yeah. Well, I know I've seen a lot of activity around the Facebook event for that event, and I know people are excited. I encourage folks to make their plans now, get their tickets now. We've sold that event out all 3 years. I don't anticipate this year being any different. So, again, we have that special VIP ticket for folks, which last year included access to some different ciders, and it had dessert and no waiting for food and more heaters and all sorts of benefits. I'm sure this year's VIP experience will be just as good, if not better. So, yeah. I meant to tell you and Danny about this. A little flash came into my head. I think it was a Palmer that, it might have been a hotel there in Palmer that's offering discounted rates to folks that are headed to Oktoberfest. I'll have to double check that, but I think they posted in the Facebook event that they would have discounted rooms the night of Oktoberfest.
Well, that is awfully thoughtful, and yeah, maybe even set up a shuttle or something would be pretty handy.
Yeah, yeah. I'll have to pay closer attention to that when I get back there into Alaska. So, Mark, anything else that we should remind folks about Oktoberfest?
Just get your tickets. Amy and I have both been around this community for ever, and every year we get people come up to us like, oh, I didn't get my tickets. Hook me up. So don't do that to us, and don't do that to yourself, because it is a limited amount of tickets that are sold, and we do have to put some limits on what we do. So get your tickets early, and don't miss out. We've had the governor's office rapping on our door begging for tickets before, so when the tickets are sold, they're sold.
Yep, and just, I guess, one other thought pops into my mind, that that is a plastic-free event. That's a bring-your-own-pint or buy-one-of-our-pint cups at the event. That's one of the things that we stuck to or started a couple of years ago, and we're very proud of that. I see that many other events are going that route as well, which is a good thing, because less plastic in the landfill is good. So get your cups, or bring your cup, or buy one of ours, and just remember that portion. Moving right along, so let's talk about the Muskox farm in general this year, Mark. I know we had some babies this year. How many new babies are on the farm this year?
We had two this year. We have 83 animals on the farm, which is every bit as many as we want. We don't want to ever get greedy and find ourselves wishing we hadn't. We have the healthiest herd right now that we've ever had, healthiest pastures, and so we're very happy with that. There's no reason to push and challenge that. So we bred four a very short amount of time in their breeding pens, and we ended up with two, which we're very happy for that, and they're incredibly fat and happy, great little oxes, and they're doing great.
Yeah, and males and females?
One boy, one girl. We always have a theme. This year we nerded out a little bit and went for a periodic table, so we've got an argon and a xenon.
Nice, I love it. Perfect. And let's talk kibiu, the fiber that these animals are so very famous for and that you guys harvest from them. Was it a good harvest year, bad harvest year? How are things looking on the kibiu front?
We had a great harvest year. You know, we've had amazing work done with our herd, and the tractability of the animals is fantastic. And, you know, everything we do is comes back to gentle and stress-free agriculture, and not just ethically is that our belief in how things should be done, but through that we have access to a greater Kivyat harvest because we do hand comb all the animals. You know, any damage to facilities or vet bills or workers' comp claims all go away. So we had great. We had our best harvest, oh my goodness, since I think 1990 or 89. And so it was a great harvest this year. We had, I think, 358 pounds. And
wow.
Yeah, it's super exciting. So we're definitely on a great tack there as well.
That's a lot of fiber. I mean, because I can imagine holding some Kivyat in my hand, and if I had, like, you know, if I'm holding my hands out in front of me and I've got, you know, them scooped and I'm holding a pile of fiber, there's very little weight to that, right? I mean, it's a super light weight. So 358 pounds, how much space does that take up?
Oh, it's packed tightly and it takes up a lot. Yeah, so we will lose probably between 40 to 50% just in cleaning it and getting the guard hair pulled out and secondary fibers. But after that, we translate everything into ounces. So, you know, 100 pounds turns into, you know, really quickly 800 plus ounces. And an ounce is what goes into a skein of yarn or a garment. And so it, it escalates pretty quick.
Yeah. And talk to me about that cleaning process, taking it from raw fiber to a skein of yarn. What is the process there, Mark? Because that's changed a little bit over the last couple of years, right?
It's very painful is what it is. We operate on a scale that makes us we're too big to be small and too small to be big, in that the fiber processing equipment that's available in the market is either very small scale where they can, you know, process, you know, a couple pounds at a time with a degree of efficiency for what they're processing, or you've got people who are wanting to do, you know, 600-800 pounds as a minimum. We've worked with mini mills in the past, and in fact, we're very excited. We're trying to find a way to make this work permanently, but there's finally some processing in Alaska. And we just had some beautiful yarn come out of Coyote Mill up in Fairbanks, and so the idea that we could get everything done in-state is pretty exciting. It's just a matter of finding a way to fit into their production, because with that scale of equipment, it's very, very time-consuming, and so we're just going to try to find our best way to work it out. We have had it dehaired over the last several years. There's a natural fiber producers cooperative, and they brought in a commercial scale dehairing machine 3 years ago into the country, I guess almost four now, which would take potentially 18 months worth of dehairing down to 4 or 5 hours. And it is scaled very well. Yeah. And, you know, they do a lot of work with bison and, you know, a lot of exotics and alpacas. It started off as an alpaca kind of design, but of course they open it up to other fibers. So it's exciting because there hadn't been a machine like that, I think it just said, since the 80s. And they've had some trouble with contractors. And so we, last year's first fiber didn't come out of dehairing until this summer even. And that was a long wait. And actually, they did a pretty poor job with it. So we're just kind of finding ways to work with the really low yield with the good stuff that came out, and then some interesting blends with some stuff that's shorter, great Kivyat, but it's turned into a blend so that they can put it into a nice yarn. So it's just a challenge. It's really hard to find, you know, someone who can do it and continue to do quality work, then just be able to do it in a timely fashion so we can actually keep everything going.
Yeah. And there in the gift shop at the Muskox Farm, you guys have been, there's some new products. I mean, traditionally you would come to the Muskox Farm and you would see the Nakshak and some of the super high-end, really well-done items available for purchase. But in the last year, you've kind of expanded your product line, right? And you've got some new outdoorsman-focused items, right?
We do. We took a, you know, traditionally, because Kivyat is very expensive and it's been really taken over to more of a fashion side. Of course, at 8 times warmer than wool, it's always got function. But we wanted to kind of get away from, you know, the super lacy open patterns that allowed you to really take, you know, stretch the, you know, the fiber the farthest and the longest, make a larger garment out of it, and do something that was more of a technical outdoor gear. So if you're, you know, you're out there mushing your dogs or climbing a mountain or skiing or snow machining, there's a garment that's going to fit closer to your skin. It's a little tighter, you know, knit, so that it's going to be that much more warm. And so that's been a really neat kind of way to go, and I'd like to really expand on that. We're also exploring you know, getting some fabric knit into, or some fiber, some yarns knit into fabric so that we could even do base layer stuff. And Yeah, it's pretty endless when you, I mean, if you look around at where fiber exists in the world, there's, you can always, you know, replace kivyat if you can make it, you know, something that's affordable and functional.
So many different opportunities, if only you had more time, right, Mark? Well, another reminder to folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and in the studio this morning is Mark Austin, Executive Director of the Muskox Farm. We've just been chatting about all the different things going on in the farm this summer, along with the kivyat and the fiber. Mark, you guys are at the, if folks don't make it all the way out to the farm, you guys are at the Friday Sling for the next couple of weeks before it shuts down for the season, right?
Yep, we've done that the last 2 years. It's been a great interface with the public, and, you know, I think we're something that people are always aware of, but, you know, little reminders, and, you know, it's been great for people to see us there and may be made aware of music or different events that, you know, one of the things we hear most often is I've been here 20 years and I've never been by the farm. And so you try to just give people different reasons, and maybe something that wasn't enough to lure them in, to just be aware of what's in their backyard. It's a great project. It's a, you know, fantastic animal, fantastic project, and it's a great interface for us to just get out in front of the public and talk to people.
Absolutely. And how late in the season do the tours run? When is the last kind of regularly scheduled tour day for the Muskox Farm?
That's always pretty flexible and fluid. We always advertise it, you know, mid-September, which is, you know, we don't want to make commitments and, you know, have people standing around and, you know, losing money. As a nonprofit, we're very, very happy to break even, and as long as we can, you know, educate people and raise awareness. But there's always a time when it gets so slow that it's no longer worth being open. And that date's been inching, you know, pretty close to the end of September. So if you've got folks visiting and you want to come out to the farm and it is getting into that third week, just give us a call first. And even if we're closed and we go into our kind of our winter schedule, then we just bring folks in by reservation and make sure we have someone that is available if someone shows up.
Absolutely. And then throughout the holiday season, are you guys around at different events with your product line, et cetera?
We do. I think that we're down to the Craft Emporium in Anchorage at the Dynana Center. That's been something that's been really worthwhile. Some of the other ones we've tried out have been, you know, fun to get out there and see people and talk with people, but it can be a bit of a burden on staff, and it's, you know, we're trying to also make a little money for the farm and keep some product going. Last year we did do one of the other things we always hear from people when we're out there is, you know, one day I'm going to buy some kivyat. And so last year we kind of launched our, you know, one day is today with a shop local Saturday at the farm, and we had a really big discount on our kivyat garments, and that was really well received. And so I'm sure we'll do that again this year. That was really fun to have people come up to the farm and, you know, keep some of the money rolling around the valley. Don't just, you know, send your money out to Amazon and have it leave the state and be gone forever. So you can support your local nonprofit and shop local. So that'll come up. So if you're one of those, one day I'll have kivyat, just put that in your back of your mind to pop by the farm on, was that the Saturday after Thanksgiving?
Okay, yeah, and watch. I'm sure you'll announce that on social media, et cetera. excuse me. Man, I've had a couple of thoughts rolling around in my mind, and now they're escaping me. But I have. I'm thinking about the future of the farm, and I know that just recently I saw a really big announcement about an exciting project that's going to happen on the farm, right? You guys were just the recipient of a big grant, right?
We were. This is kind of right up there with the conservation easement as far as a huge, huge deal for the farm. I would say, you know, it's as far as the property goes, aside, you know, the most exciting thing since we brought a muskox to the property and placed an easement on it. For those who know, we occupy the old Lentz farm, which was part of the original colony project, and therefore have a colony barn, which so many of those are falling into disrepair over the years, or 85, 6 years old now. So we have been working towards renovating that barn for several years. It's been a very slow process, but it's been a solid process. We're in a really great place to be doing it now. And so we are looking to raise right around $1.2 million for the entire project, but the idea is we're not doing it the cheap way, we're doing it the right way. And So what we'll end up doing is the really iconic part of the barn is really that gambrel roof. Everything below it's pretty much just a box. So we'll lift the gambrel roof off, swing it to the side, raise everything underneath, put a more appropriate, more usable 21st century box underneath it, which will house a really interactive museum for our education, visitor reception areas, and of course a place to highlight our fabrics and fibers and yarns and in a much better light. And then we'll have the barn, and we'll swing that gambrel roof up onto the roof again, and we'll tack that back down, and we'll insulate the outside. So we'll preserve the outline of the barn, and it'll remain a colony barn and as you look at it. But inside, and by insulating on the outside, we'll also have all those trusses that give it that cathedral-like feel inside. And then when that'll become year-round warmed-in, dried-in classroom, studio space, we'll be able to host educational events throughout the year, school groups, fundraising, activities. It's just going to be a really incredible space for us, that something we do not have right now that'll be amazing in the future. We've raised a little over $700,000 on that. We are waiting for, we've got a site visit from our final foundation at the end of this month, or next month. Is it the first? The end of this month. And that's an organization that regularly partners with Rasmussen. So, of course, nothing's guaranteed, but we're hopeful, because this would be the third funder. Funders like to work in groups, and no one wants to really stride out on their own. So very, very hopeful for that. So it's coming up, and if all comes together, we'll be fully funded this fall, and we'll be looking forward to breaking ground as early as we can in the spring.
That's incredible. Well, three big cheers to you, Mark, for making all these kind of incredible advancements to the farm. You're the guy that's made it happen over the last decade, and I think the community recognizes that, and that's part of why everyone's, such big supporters of the farm and the work that you do, because we can see your passion. We know that you're doing the right thing up there, and this advancement to the colony barn, this upgrade of the barn, so to speak, will be just kind of the next little notch in your headboard, right? The next little look what Mark did at the farm. So congratulations on that. And is there a way that folks, if they want to contribute directly to that project and through donations, et cetera, or just get behind it, are you going to do any specific fundraising for that for the public?
We've kicked around some ideas. And first, it's not just me. I've got a great crew up there making all this possible. So we work together, and a lot of people pushing the rock up the hill with me. So it's been great to be surrounded by such a wonderful crew. You can always go to our website, same thing, www.muskoxfarm.org, and there is a Get Involved button. You can always donate through that. We don't have specific events planned at the moment for the any fundraising locally, but we have had a local kind of capital campaign. We achieved our goals with that. We're looking at the foundation money right now to kind of finish things up, but there will be some money needing to be raised for fitting out the interior and the museum and how that lays out. But we're kind of waiting to see how the final design, getting it shovel ready, comes together for what we need.
Very good. Well, again, what such an exciting progression up there. And like you mentioned, the farm's got these incredible animals. The ground is now permanently protected. Now you'll have this epic kind of gathering center in the next year or so, and just, cheers to the future of the Muskox Farm and great work.
Thanks so much. Well, it's been a great process, a great project. I've always been very passionate about the project and everything it had to offer. It's, nothing but incredible potential all the way around, beautiful piece of land and amazing animals. So it's a lot to work with.
Yeah, well, we're lucky to have you in Palmer, and I'm so glad you're there. And Mark, thanks for joining me on Ag Matters Radio this morning. We talked about a lot of things going on the farm, from the running with the bulls next Sunday to Oxtoberfest coming up October 6th. So I encourage folks to get out there, head to the website, figure out what events they can attend, get tickets, get registered, etc. And I look forward to seeing you next time, Mark.
I look forward to seeing you. Enjoy the rest of your trip and keep getting feeling better.
Okay, thank you.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.